I'll be reading from Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went out and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he finds one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Good morning. Welcome on this beautiful spring morning. Glad you're here. Short winter was wonderful, wasn't it? We know better. It'll come in, but we'll enjoy these times. Hope you made it through the wind and the storms last night, or yesterday. I guess it was yesterday morning. Everybody seems okay, just the wind. I know when that first hard rain came through, Houston and I were in it. We were soaked, weren't we, Houston? Houston's comment as his clothes were dripping, he said, "I have never weighed so much in my life." Because we were waterlogged, but that was okay. It was all right. It was warm. It's unusual in January to get wet and not be freezing to death. So it was a warm rain, but it came down pretty hard there for a little while. We're going to get off of Acts for this week. And the reason for that is, sometimes there's some studying and thinking and praying and living, and just think about things we want to talk about. And usually they're things we've talked about before, and this is not a lesson that's new for us. And it's not only a lesson that we need, and we all do, need to be reminded of, but as I think about what does the world need? What do those around us need? What do we need to exemplify? What do we need to teach others about? And so I want us to talk about that for a minute this morning as we look at this lesson. And Sam read for us a couple of parables that maybe are familiar to us, and talking about really the value of the kingdom. The value of the kingdom. What's the value of the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of God. What is that value? What's it worth? Being a part of the kingdom, what's that worth? And that's really kind of the bottom line of what I want us to talk about for a minute this morning. What's the value of the kingdom? Well, you know, it's interesting, in a conversation I had with a guy this week, and it was a good one. It was not in depth, nor was it long, but it was a good one. And I don't even know who the gentleman is. Didn't catch his name. Didn't get his name, I don't think. But we were talking somewhere, explaining, you know, just niceties of hello, how are you kind of thing. And we're talking about how blessed we were. I think he made the comment how blessed he was. And I agreed with that. And we kind of talked a little bit about our eternal destiny. And we kind of got in a discussion about free. And I said, well, you know, it really wasn't free. And I said, it's free to us, but it was paid for with a great price. And he kind of paused. He said, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, and he wasn't, it was just, and I know I thought about it more, and I feel certain he thought about it more, that while salvation is a free gift to us, there's no such thing as free, right? There's no free lunch. Ever heard that? No free lunch. That's not in the Bible. All right, I can't carry you to a passage. I can't tell you Solomon said there's no free lunch. But we understand that. There's no free lunch. And while the kingdom is open to us, it is free to us because the Son of God paid the price, at a tremendous price, His life, right? He gave His life. He became a man. The first thing He did is He emptied Himself of the glory of heaven. Most of us don't want to go back or go down, right? You know, the way you lived maybe as a college student or right out of high school, or when you first married? Was all right because you felt like you were moving up, right? But maybe, we ate well because we ate with other people. If you went out to eat, my dad bought. Kathy cooked, my mama cooked, so, and Carrie cooked. And I'm not saying she didn't, but when things were a little tighter, we always had a place to go eat. But we don't want things to freeze in our house anymore like they did when we first married. We don't want to go back to that. We survived it fine, but I don't want to go back, right? And I don't really want to go back and work all the hours I worked when I was younger. Do you? I could do it, I guess, but as my daddy said, son, it might not hurt you, it'll just hurt your feelings, But you don't want to go back. After you've kind of gotten things more comfortable, maybe financially in our lives, it's hard to go back, isn't it? The reason I say, what did Jesus do? He left the glory of heaven and became a man. He gave up more than you and I will ever have. He gave it up to come as a man, to suffer not only on the cross, but to suffer all the things that happened to mankind in a fallen, sinful world. And he died for us. He died for us. So that what? So that we might be heirs with him of eternal life. So that we might be citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. Because that's Jesus' message, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven is passing by. Here's your opportunity to be a part of the kingdom. In fact, when he is questioned as a young man by the religious leaders, and they question Jesus because they marvel at his wisdom, and they ask the question about the greatest commandments, and he talks about what they know, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. The Lord is one God, and you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength," right? And Jesus said, "And love your neighbor as yourself." And so one of the rabbis kind of repeats that, hey, this is more important than sacrifice. And Jesus' answer to him is, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." You're not far from the kingdom. You're beginning to grasp what the kingdom is about. You're not far from the kingdom. And so it's about being a part of the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God is this relationship with God, this sonship of God, and this promise of eternal life where Jesus has now ascended back to glory, right? Has emptied himself now, has ascended back to glory, and is preparing a place for us to be with him. And so it is extremely important. In fact, Jesus tells the parables about what are the value of the kingdom. And he says, it's a person who finds a treasure and a property he doesn't own. So it's not his, right? This might bring a moral dilemma for some of us. It's interesting how Jesus answered. Well, if I go to buy it, should I tell the person what I found? Well, evidently, this parable, Jesus didn't think so. What's the guy do? He hides the treasure back in the field and then does what? Everything he can to buy the field so the treasure could be his, right? He says, I'm going to sell everything else because this treasure is of such great value that it is worth more to have this treasure than everything else I have. So I'm going to work hard and sell everything I've got and empty everything out so I can buy this field and obtain this treasure. That's all the parable says. And we get that, right? For those of us who are old enough to remember the Ballad of Jed Clampett, what was old Jed doing? Then one day he was shooting at some food, and up from the ground came a bubbling crude. Oil, that is. Black gold. Texas tea. Right? So that farm became of... All of a sudden, that old mountain farm that probably had only sustenance value became extremely valuable, right? And so they moved off to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars. So that's the parable. That's the parable, except Jed owned that. But what if Jed had found that? Oh, we assume he did. But what if he just found that oil and old Jed said, I'm going to buy that old farm. And he gets ready and the guy who owns it said, I have taken advantage of old Jed. He bought that old farm and Rabbit half take his lunch across it. Because he found, he knew there was something of great value. Well, that's what Jesus is telling in the parable. Then he talks about a guy who is a merchant. And he finds this pearl that is unique. That the old oyster did a great job. That was one irritated rascal. And he did a great job making that pearl. And this pearl is so valuable, so beautiful, so perfect, so expensive. I don't know what makes pearls special. I don't know. But anyway, it was special. For those of you who know, you know what it's about. And so this merchant says, I'm going to sell everything else. But if I buy this pearl, it has had such a great value that nothing else matters. All the other pearls that I've ever had, that I have obtained. In fact, I'm going to go take my wife's pearls, which I'm sure was an interesting conversation. Honey, I'm taking your pearls because you just trust me. I've got something of greater value. And Jesus said, that's how we should be about the kingdom. That when we do come close to the kingdom and recognize the kingdom, that it is of such great value. We recognize the value of being part of the kingdom of heaven, part of the kingdom of God, part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we put away everything else because we realize its value. Now, did those folks buying that kingdom feel like they were sacrificing? Oh no, we're not really sacrificing that because what we're getting is of such greater value. We're investing, right? That's that the other things that seem important to us, that seem to have value and do have some, are not nearly as valuable as the pearl or the field, are not nearly as valuable as the kingdom. And so, for us, it's important for us to be reminded how valuable the kingdom is. Because we never want to take our invitation and opportunity to be part of the kingdom for granted, right? Because sometimes you can do that. Let's just be honest. Who are the people sometimes we're not as conscientious about and good to as we should be? Sometimes it's the people that we love the most that are closest to us, right? Because typically we put on the good face, even if we're having a hard day, around strangers, right? But our family kind of sees. Sometimes they get the short end of the stick every now and then. We don't really mean to. It's not because we don't love them. It's just they're kind of there and we kind of take it for granted. So sometimes we do the kingdom the same way. But we need to realize the greatness of the value of the kingdom. And that it really means everything, right? It does. It means everything. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, when the accounts are all settled, when our race is run, whether we have entered into the kingdom or not is all that will matter. When the fire burns everything else away, that's all that will matter. Nothing else is going to matter. So, it's what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11. Mike, if you want to bring that up. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's just stop there for a second, because this is not only what we need, but to share with the world. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Satan has convinced all of us, pretty much as human beings, that everything, especially in our relationship, is about merit. Right? We struggle with the merit concept of earning something. Do we not? Don't you? We just struggle with that. We struggle with this. You're going to love me. And I'm not just talking about God. You're going to love me or like me based on what I do for you or what I bring to you, right? If you don't believe that's true, when couples first start dating, what happens? Don't she fix up nice? Dress nice. He cleans up. They go to nice places. They go out to eat. They go to movies. All that. Isn't that right? Isn't that what happens? You just want to be together all the time and talk to each other on the phone. And you go places, you do things. Why is that? Because if I act nice and I look nice and I do nice things, she's going to love me. It starts there, right? Most of us don't go on the first date and say, "Here I am." It is what it is. I'm overweight, I'm old, and I don't pick my shorts up off the floor. Why do we do that? Because we feel like if we do and present the right things, that we'll be appealing, attractive, accepted by someone else. That's just an example. We do it. Well, we're kind of that way with God. We're that way with God. If I clean up and I look nice, and when I say that, I'm not talking about just in our apparel. I'm talking about in our behavior, in our lives, right? If I do some good, I'm going to tell you what Paul says. Paul said, "I never violated my conscience." He said, when it came to zeal, he said, "I persecuted Christians because it was the right thing to do. I was serving God. I was a Pharisee. I studied in the school of Gamaliel. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. When it comes to credentials, I got them." And he says, "I'm going to tell you what. That is solid waste to me compared to the grace I found in Christ Jesus." That's what Paul says. He said, it's rubbish. It's trash. That didn't have value. Because here's what the Hebrew writer says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith in God, it is impossible to please Him. And so, not only do we need to be reminded of that, but how many of our friends in the world think because they're decent human beings, and they are, that they're good to their families, and they contribute to the community, and they're good folks, that everything between them and God is all right? Most of them. Right? Very few of our friends just absolutely say, "I don't think there is a God. I don't believe in none of it." Or, "I don't want nothing to do with God. I believe in Him, but I don't want nothing to do with God. Send me to hell, I'm ready." Nobody. But lots of folks think that if I live decent lives, and I give to the Red Cross, and I show up at work, and I'm good to my family, that everything is all right because I ain't killed anybody. I don't cheat. I don't lie. And I don't steal. I don't lie much. And that I'm right with God. That's a lie from Satan. And the reason I'm sharing this lesson is, in a kind but serious way, we have to let people know that's a lie. You're not right with God. Just because you're better than most folks. Because here's the truth. The wages of sin is death. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what you earn by the way we live is death. That's what we earn. No matter how good we are, it's what we earn. Without faith. And faith in Jesus. Not only believing that He exists. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. You must believe that He exists. Well, I believe in God. Great. So do the demons, and they tremble. That's Scripture. The demons believe, and they tremble. It says, not only must you believe that He exists, but that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That He rewards us. We're not agnostics or deists. We're Christians. Deist says there's a God, but He's really removed from what's going on. Yeah, I believe God created everything, but, you know, as an individual and as a society, it's our job to make everything right. That's not the Christian view. That's not the view God tells us in the Testament. He rewards those who diligently seek Him, rewards us in the world to come, and watches over us and cares for us in this world. Not everything is going to look great, but all things are going to work together for God's good, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 28, writer of the Apostle Paul. That God exists, not only does He exist, He rewards those who diligently seek Him, who earnestly seek Him. earnestly seeking God. What does that mean? And we're going to end doing pretty good. Really important, but I'm doing good. I noticed I've been preaching late the last couple of weeks. Old Rob kicked us off at 10 o'clock. He said, that rascal's going to keep us late. I got to get started. Dinner waiting. Earnestly means to seriously, seriously seek God. Earnestly, to committedly seek God. Someone is diligent, that they're earnest, that they're diligent. I'm going to read what, see what Siri defines. See if Siri will divine this for me. Y'all would never believe I'd go to Siri and ask. Siri, what does earnest mean?
Don't As an adjective, it means resulting from or showing sincere and intense conviction.
Resulting from...
To hear the remaining one.
All right, that's enough, hon. Love you. Oh, and now she's copying that down. Showing intense conviction. Right? Seriousness. Intense conviction. She's British. Showing intense conviction. Hebrew writer says we must not only believe that God exists, but with intense conviction, seek after Him. Seek Him. He who seeks will find. He who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus didn't say, just try to clean your act up a little bit. Look good. Look good. Clean up. Straighten up. Wear the right clothes. Or I'm not even really talking about that. You know, I'm talking about deeper than that. Just be decent. Be respectable. Did your mama ever tell you to be respectable? Just act respectable. Have a little pride. No. Just keep all the laws and all will be good. That's not what he's saying. Just believe that there's a God. Everything's good. He says you must believe not only that God exists, but that He is a rewarder of those who with conviction and dedication, seek Him. You and I are called to, with conviction and dedication, seek God every day. But it's a lesson we need to share with our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones and our co-workers and the men or women who cut our hair or do our pedicures. Yeah, I know if you get pedicures. Don't act like you don't. You guys that get them, don't act like you don't. Do we share with them about God and about His Son and about earnestly seeking Him with conviction, seeking Him? It's not enough just to believe that He exists. Satan has convinced us. Oh yeah, just believe God exists, and clean up, and it's all good. All of us are going to a better place. Jesus said, earnestly, with conviction, seek Him. Seek Him. And Jesus gives us two parables. He says, when we find something as valuable as the kingdom, as valuable as the kingdom, those who found the field with the treasure and the pearl, man, nothing else mattered but acquiring the treasure, acquiring the pearl. And His lesson to us, when we come in contact with the kingdom, which all of us have, even today, the kingdom is near. When we've come in contact with the kingdom, it is important that with conviction and dedication, we realize nothing else is important as seeking the kingdom, and that everything else becomes subservient to our desire to acquire the greatest gift, and that is to be part of the kingdom of God, part of the family of God, and heirs of the treasure of the Creator and Almighty God. It's not free, but it's free to you. It's free because Jesus paid a tremendous price, because He loved us, because He wants us to be part of the kingdom. He wants us to be part of the kingdom. And He says, you seek Me, and you'll find Me. Because what we've been studying back in Acts 17, one of my favorite chapters that we spent a year on, not quite, Jesus said, "Hope, God hopes that we'll seek Him, though He is not far from any one of us. God is near. God is near. He just wants us to seek." If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.